हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मावीर्यवशावहै जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 38. Metaphysical dependence of souls. Because now he's established that the essence of selfhood, that the soul is there, right? Then the dependent nature. Because otherwise, see, the Maya bodies are trying to establish that the soul is not dependent because the soul is the supreme, right? So you have to establish that the nature of the soul is separate and it is dependent, right? So in other words, independence is Vishnu. Right, everything else is dependent. So the jiva, the creation, everything is dependent. Right, so in spite of their intrinsic nature of consciousness and bliss, the souls as finite beings are in a state of absolute dependence and limitations at all times, in bondage and in release. Right, because otherwise the mayavadis would agree in bondage, but then when you're liberated, they would say, no, it's not like that. In liberated state, then, you know, they're free of all this, they are that, there are so many things. But they're not. The beginningless involvement of the soul in this world, though essentially uncreated, they are nevertheless associated from eternity with a series of material factors known as avaranas, concealment, which are, right, so basically saying they're not created, right? The souls are eternal, right? But you have the element, but since some time immemorial, since we don't know the date, right? You know, it's not like, you know, when you get your chip, then it's, you know, it shows when you came into the material world or something, right? You know, it's just, it's not known, right? Yes.
Is it also that time works differently compared to where you are, so it doesn't really make sense to put a date on it?
That also could be. That could be, like in Brahma Loka, you know, a year here is a moment there. You have that. And then if you take it further, in the spiritual world, then 3/4 of a second is one lifetime of Brahma here. You know, so you do kind of have a slightly different time frame. So even if you are here for, 100 lifetimes of Brahma, that's only, what, it means 75 seconds. You know, so what do you call it? You know, 1 minute, 15 seconds. You know, so in the spiritual world, you know, you go off, you know, go pick your nose and you come back after that much time. No one's going to notice, right? So you can be gone from there and no one will really notice. Krishna notices, of course, but others may not notice. Does that make sense? So that's why it's not worthwhile getting into the time. Point is we're looking at it from the perspective of here. Yeah, it's been time immemorial. You can't say when. You know. So these concealments of Aranas, all right? Linga Sharir, or a subtle body. Prarabdha karma, or karma which has begun to bear fruit. Right? Kama, or desire, which is the seed of activity. And avidya, or ignorance, which is real and destructible. Right? So the living entity being in ignorance, therefore he wants to enjoy the material world. Because of that, therefore he has the linga sharir, and there he has desires for material activities, and he's getting the results of those previous activities. So in here it's not a matter of, you know, well, this one and now how can that one be there if this one's not. This is just what's going on. Because since you can't identify when the beginning is, then you're not going to identify any of these other aspects. You just know when he comes in, he gets the mental. He's clothed in the lingashura and then the specific stulashura. So the lingashura will be with him the whole time. The body will change, but the lingashura is the same one from when you enter to when you leave. Like that, you know, it's the same, right? You know, I mean, think about it. Could you imagine every time you have to change the mind and everything? That would be a trip, right? You know, yeah, the body is like that. You know, so like you can stay in this hotel or that hotel. That you can handle. But if you were the same, different person each time, you know, then you'd have to figure out, well, what do I like? Don't I like? Well, let's go down to breakfast and see, you know, like that. And you know, it'd be a little bit of a trip. So it's a good facility, right? You know, same linger sharir like that. I mean, the ignorance is a problem, yeah, you know, like that. So therefore, seeds are there because you desire, right? Mm. Then the prabhupada karma is that which you've actually done, right? Does that make sense?
So this is more or less random order. It's not
that
it's
one. Not, yeah, it's not specific, but at the same time, is it's the linger sharir that has the karma and is through which it and has the ignorance.
But it was just seemed like
no, because this ignorance is there before one comes into the material world. So therefore, it's not the material mode of ignorance. There's actually a lack of understanding of your relationship with the Supreme. Yes. I don't remember his name, but he gave a specific name for it. It was, I think, Ramanuja gave the name. But there's a name for it before. You know, in other words, that basically state of ignorance where one hasn't come into the material world and therefore got the linga sharir. But at the same time is one still in the material body, but one has material consciousness. Mm. I mean, spiritual body that has material consciousness. Mm. That state is then what's the cause of it. So that's the general principle I want to control and enjoy. Then one comes into the material world, and then, you know, as Brahma, then you get the opportunity to see whatever's available, right? He can see everything in the universe. Anybody else can only see part. But he can see everything. So then it's a matter of, you know, is there something here that interests you or not? So then that will start the desire seeds, right? Depending on the endeavor, then you get the results. But you have the linga sharir from when you come, because otherwise how is the soul clothed? How is he... Right, he's just in the Vasudev Sattva, is just in Mahat. Right, so then he'll get this subtle body, right, and he's actually in ignorance because he doesn't know his relationship with the Lord, and then he takes his first appearance as Brahma. Right, so prarabdha karma and the kama desire, see, means he has kama for general enjoyment but not specific. Prarabdha is then the specific. Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
The source of bondage is also in the same way to put down ultimately to the will of God. There's no other explanation of the beginningless association of ignorance obscuring the selves except the mysterious will of Brahman. Right? But the point is the will of Brahman, that this is the nature of the jiva. Then it's the jiva that can make the choice. Right? It's not that God says, okay, you go to the material world, now you stay here, like that. You also stay here, and that's... And you three go that way. You know, it's not like that. You know, it's no big armchair and, you know, a face that you can't see and big sitting there. Like that. You know? I think if he's a judge, at least they're big, you know. Yeah, I guess because in courts you don't have a table and a wooden mallet, right? So, I guess it'll work. It is the will of this Lord that the soul shall know him and realize the respective selfhood only by cleansing themselves of the impurities of prakriti and the distractions of avidya. After a long and arduous process of physical, intellectual, and moral effort and spiritual discipline, right? So here also they use the arduous because in their system, I don't know if it'll come up here, when they actually, in their thing of going back to Godhead, I think they have to go through 14 stages of existence. Like that, you know, being born through all these different positions. I think it's a Pancharatri thing. So they're born in all so different levels and that within the universe and all that till finally then they go back to Godhead. Right? So then, therefore, it is a bit arduous. You have to be really committed to it.
Is that between material life and spiritual, or material life has 14 stages? Or?
No, it means it's within your sadhana. You know, it's just like Gopakumar, he goes through all those different positions. So I've heard it said that those are the various positions that are required, you know, in the pancharatrik system that the madhvas follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's one way. But so we have the element, the Lord Chaitanya, and by Prabhupada's mercy, then one lifetime you can go back to Godhead. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't we have to still go through?
But not as taking birth.
Okay.
Means it's just that you're going out of the universe. You get the, you get a tour. And so the point is that if you decide, wow, that looks nice, they'll drop you off there.
Yeah.
You know, that, so, you know, just, you know, kind of, you know, put on your shades and kind of be cool. You know. Yeah, yeah, you know, just sit there and like that, you know. And so on the left here, we have Indra and his heavenly planets and all that. You know, they go, well, he's cool. I like the suit. Okay, so you also see here as he's putting that emphasis, I mean not an emphasis, but he's strongly bringing out the element of purifying yourself by committing yourself to a process of elevation, right? So that is, you know, standard. Standard way, as we see, is that much of the time it's easy to relate to. That's what's so unique about the element of bhakti, is that it's not actually dependent upon that. That's just a symptom of it, right? In other words, you're willing to commit to this. It's a symptom that you really want to develop love for God. But it's not the cause of developing love for God. Does that make sense? So that's the elements that one has to see is that it's just where you emphasize. That's the aspect of the Gaudiya, because you're looking at pure unalloyed devotional service. So what's being offered is so much more intense, so much more absorbing, that there's the element that it will distract one from the material. Just like the material distracts us from the spiritual can distract from the material. Right? But because we don't have the habit of that, therefore we go through sadhana, which is the habit of doing those activities that will attract one to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense?
In a Madhva Acharya presentation, there is less emphasis on the mercy.
Yes, because I think you kind of get the idea is that, see, why would the Mayavadis think that they could merge into Brahman? It's not actually scientific. It's more of whim. You know what I'm saying? So there's the mode of ignorance there. So it appears that what he's doing is steering very clear of anything that they could base their philosophy on. Right? While Ramanuja was taking all the elements they base it on and showing it in its natural original state within Vaishnavism. So in other words, being a pure monist means being a Vaishnav who's absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord. That's a real monist. And if you see that the Lord and the creation that are different, like they see, that's, you're actually a dualist. You're not actually a monist. Only Vaishnavs are actually monists. Mayavadis are dualists. Because they see Brahman and they see Maya.
Yes.
They don't see that Maya is one of the energies of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So he just takes the same thing and just turns it around on them. You know, so that kind of, you know, the intellectual kind of, oh, wow, yeah. You know, so right now you're a bogus monist, but if you want to be a real monist, then you have to surrender to Vishnu. You know, that kind of a thing. While he's doing kind of the opposite, where he's taking anything that they could base their philosophy on, and just making it so clear that it's not possible. So he leaves nothing for them to actually grab onto. Like that. So he'll take the opposite, because if it's that free will was more, means, or that mercy and all, then the thing is that there's the element of just what I feel, as opposed to just, no, this is the way it is. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so you just have these different time, place, and circumstance, then one preaches according to that. Does that make sense? So he was taking up this. Okay. It is the will of the Lord that the soul shall know him and realize the respective selfhood. Because they're saying is that Brahman has no will, it's just existing. But here he's pointing out, no, the will is there. Okay. The seed must be planted in the earth before it can sprout and develop into a fruit tree. The accessories at Linga Deha, Prarabdha Karma, etc. are just the material environment provided by God to help the jivas to unfold themselves. So now it's also that, no, we've been put into here, we're suffering and this and that, so we want to get liberated. But his point is no, these have been given by God so that you can, you know, come to your proper realization of who you are and who God is in your relationship. Does that make sense? So, right, so it means all these are contained within the Chinta Veda Veda Tattva, just everything will have its place. Right, if somebody's inspired, then you take that way. Someone's not, then you take another mood, like that. But they'll take one mood for everything. They've had their finities, how they can apply it. Otherwise, how is it successful? But it won't have as broad a range. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is thus no problem at all of the first fall of man in Madhva's philosophy. But it's not a problem, because by God's will, then one is coming here, and one gets all the facilities to become God's realized. Mm. He's not addressing the point that the jiva turned his face to God, and that's why he came here, because then they don't want to get into that, because it's one of those questions you won't understand, because you're dealing with people that don't accept the spiritual world anyway. You know, so why get into that? Because it's so much easier to say you fell from Brahman. Even amongst the Gaudis, you say, you fell from Brahman, and okay, cool. Mm. You know? So, you know, so it's you want to avoid that. So therefore, it's not a discussion. You don't see, it didn't come up. Any of the acharyas, no one deals with it. Because it's not something to deal with. Right? So that's not the problem. The point is when you're here, it's not a problem that all these are difficulties that are getting in your way. No, these are your facilities, how to get out. Right? And bhakti is the best way to get out. These other things... Means if he's saying arduous, then that means the Mayavad principle is practically impossible. The question is only of the ascent of man by degrees, right? So that's what he means, arduous, by degrees, right? After he has qualified himself through sincere effort, right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So not the Mayavad is looking at the descent. Means we were a Brahman, but we fell down here. So we can get back to there again because this is bad. Mm-hmm. He's looking at it. No, whatever situation you're in, use it in God's service and therefore elevate yourself. You understand? So he's taking exact opposite of the Mayavad. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's quite positive.
Yeah, it's quite positive. Yeah, it's quite positive. Means the thing is it means that's the point. Vaishnavism is dealing with the positive element, mm-hmm. not the negative. Right? But it's either you can deal with something completely different from what it is. No, it's not this, it's that. Because people can also, it's not, you know, heads, it's tails. Okay, they can relate to that. But there's also the thing is what you're doing, it's almost there, but if you just make this adjustment, then it's there. So Ramanuja is doing that, Madhva is just showing the opposite. Mm-hmm. Like that. So the point is whichever works for the situation. Not having possessed the freedom and purity of the Supreme at any time of their lives means he was never Brahman, you know, meaning as the Nirakar Brahman. Nor having been, quote, in any way shares in the divine nature. He wasn't like little particles of the divine nature and now all the little particles have come here. So there is no divine nature and then all of them go back. But that means then you have to wait until everybody else gets back, you know, like that. So that's not very good. Right? The question does not arise from Madhva, right? Because his thing is questions don't arise. It's not a matter of dogma. It's just a matter of, it's so obvious that it's not a question. You know, is this a rock or is this, you know, a Boeing 747?
Definitely a rock.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not a question. It's not dogma. Well, you don't want to discuss this of 747? You know, what's wrong with you? You know, it's like, no, it's just a matter of it's not. So that's his point. It's just the jiva never was independent, never was, you know, a part of the Supreme, that now the Supreme's been broken into little pieces like that. No, it's that he's always been the individual. That's the nature. Right? And that kind of thing becomes very, very hard for someone who's a mental speculator to deal with.
Yeah.
Because they're not used to absolutes. They have their so-called absolutes, but it's based on speculation. It's based on an unabsolute process. Well, he's taking absolute based on an absolute process. So they don't know what to do with it. Right? So that's why big scholars, then they would accept what he would say. Like that. And they were big Mayavadis, they would accept what he said because it was just so clear. Right? So logical. Okay. Or having been a, the question does not arise from Madhva of how the souls came to lose these and transfer themselves to the rule of karma, right? Because they never had him in the first place.
Mm.
Ramanuja holds that neither reason nor Shastra can tell us how karma got the souls into his power, because the cosmic process is beginning this. Right? So Shastra's not going to say exactly when you came, because like that, and the reason can't. You just know that that's how it works. Madhva's theory of bondage. According to Madhvacharya, souls exist from eternity in the chaos of a material environment under the supervision of God. At the conclusion of each Mahapralaya, he brings them to the forefront of creation. He has no purpose in doing so, save that of helping the souls to exhaust, through enjoyment, bhoga, the heavy load of karmas and vasanas. Right? It means the coverings. Creation is, thus, an indispensable requisite for the ripening of individual karma and the full development of each soul. Right? So they're not dealing with anything before, they're just dealing with this is what's going on. The soul is here, he's involved in the cycle of samsara, so the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material worlds. So therefore, that's what's going on. The Lord, he has nothing to gain by it. I mean, he personally gets nothing from it. Right? The soul thinks I'm getting something from it. That's what karma is. I do my activity, I get my result. Right, but the soul, the Lord's not involved like that. Right, so he's not bringing out the element of the Lord is doing this to rectify the soul, so they'll come back to the position of love. Because the point is, he's just creating the facility. Because love is a choice. It's out of love that he creates the facility, but the individual soul has to make the choice. Right, just like they made the choice to come here, you have to make the choice to go back. It's that. Something? No, okay. Creation is beginningless in time, but in all the same, because beginningless in time, because it means the previous creation was before this time. So if you're working by time, how do you manage what's in between time manifest and time being manifest last time? So you can't calculate it, right? Okay, creation is beginningless in time, but in all the same subject to the Lord's pleasure. Okay, so the creation, everything is just part of the same subject, of just so it's connected to the Lord. He is the ultimate cause of their bondage, not in the sense that he threw them into it at a certain point of the history, but that it is continuous association with them, in every way, subject to him, and its freedom will depend on his grace and cooperation. Right? In other words, the Lord is the cause of the bondage, but it's not that he put the living entity here.
Mm.
You just have rules that you're absorbed in him, you stay in the spiritual world, you're not absorbed in him, you come to the material world. We chose to not be absorbed, so therefore, we're placed here. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's not that the government just goes, the prisons are full of people that the government just went and picked up off the street and threw in jail. Right, like that? I guess you'd have to say that's tongue-in-cheek in some countries. But in any case, the point is that the idea is those who don't follow the laws of the country end up in jail. So it's their choice. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore you can say the government put me in jail. No, but you performed the activity that the government put you in jail. Right, so that's not being addressed because you don't know, just as we don't know when that time is, then how that would come up. So that's why we use the term somehow or another. Mm-hmm. Right? We say somehow or another that soul became inimical. That's all. Right? So he's saying he's the cause. In other words, he's the supreme controller. Right? There's nothing going on outside. Here you're dealing with Mayavadis that don't know the spiritual world. So you're dealing within the creation that they can know through Shastra. Right? Like that. The termination of this entanglement can only be achieved by God's grace, earned through sadhanas. Such is the essence of Madhva's view of the reality and terminability of bondage. Does that make sense? It's pretty straightforward. In other words, you don't get into that fine detail. You just point is this means somehow or another you're here, and that's controlled by God. You know, so you're put here by God's arrangement, and you'll only get out by God's arrangement. So in other words, you please him through sadhana, then you can get freed from this. It may, no doubt, appear to be a despotic thing for God to envelop the souls in beginningless maya, but it is a necessary evil in the scheme of the universe. The association with material nature is a necessary step in the spiritual evolution of souls, and is therefore permitted by God. Right? It is a painful experience through which every one of them has to pass before attaining his or her full stature, whatever that may be. Right? You know, it means, so you have the element is that it's not that the Lord, this is how he would like it to work, but that's because the nature of the criminal nature of the jiva, therefore he's put into the prison house of maya. Right, and because of that, it's not so comfortable, and therefore, then the soul will take it. The proper attitude will take it as an opportunity to elevate himself out of the material world and go back to the spiritual world. Does that make sense? Right, because these others only come up if we're thinking that why me, like that. I can't say why someone else, because anybody I would know would have done the same thing. You know? Yeah, yeah.
I think that many people, including devotees, not agree on this plan, because they say, why God didn't do it this way and that way. So they just don't want to do anything for themselves. They just want somebody to come and do it for them.
Yeah.
Where is this concept coming from?
Mode of ignorance. Because that's the occupation of a Shudra. Means he's not the one that overruns everything, does it? He just should, I do my work, I get my good result, and I enjoy it. He doesn't know what goes on, what's the bigger plan, or anything like that. You know, it's like, I'm going to work, and so therefore I do all the things, and, grumpy about the taxes. But those taxes go to the government. The government is able to maintain, a military and the strategy which protects the country, that therefore you can go on earning your money and being happy. They don't see the bigger plan. What's it for? Like the prisoners, why do you have to be locked up in here? Because if you're not in here, you'll disturb everyone else who's nice. And because you're locked up in here, then the amount of people you can disturb is limited, to just who's in the prison. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of I should be let out, not that I should be good. No, I should just be let out. Why I'm in here? But the point is you're a criminal. That's why you're not being let out. If you know I'm a criminal, therefore then you can behave properly and get out. That's where the acharyas will recognize that I've been, foolish, I've been sinful, I've turned my back on the Lord and absorbed myself in material life. But their definition of sin means forgetting Krishna. Right? They're not so worried about all the nonsense they've done here. The point is I've forgotten Krishna and come here and done all this nonsense. It's not so much I've done all this nonsense. You know what I'm saying? The focus is slightly different. And so now it's a matter of, by the source grace of the devotees and by the grace of the Lord, then by his mercy we can get freed from it. Because it has to be willed, because if it's a matter of I did my sadhana, therefore I deserve it, that's karma. No, so I did my sadhana, I pleased the Lord, then I'm freed from it. So that element of that free will is therefore emphasized. But he's showing more that free will is the Lord and the jiva being dependent, so he doesn't emphasize that aspect so much. Just that you do what you're supposed to do, and then the Lord will be pleased with that, and that's there. Because for them, expressing the love through rules and regulations is their standard. So it's natural, you've done your sadhanas, but they mean doing your sadhanas with devotion. They don't mean, that means the sadhana is secondary to the devotion. But because sadhana is what they'll, it means, in the spiritual world, they'll still be following the rules, so it's not sadhana, because they're already perfect. But it's still, the emphasis is on rules. So you see that more with Madhva and Ramanuja. Well, we'll mention them, but the emphasis is not there. Though we do them, you know, like, you know, they're just as important to us as the, to them as it is to us. You know? Okay. It is a painful experience through which every one of them, the jivas, has to pass before obtaining to his or her full stature, whatever that may be. It is the desire of the Almighty that the souls shall fulfill themselves only in this way and in no other. And there is no questioning his will. He is satya sankalpa. Right? So it's a matter of, since it's on reverence, then there's no question of dealing with the will. But for us, then we would deal is that it means there's no other way, because how else is the basis of love? Right? Means that if you don't do what pleases the other person, how will that be love? So that would be the reason we do it, right? Mm-hmm. So he's bringing out is that he's the supreme, and so you can't question his supremacy. It's just we're junior, we're dependent, we have to do it, mm-hmm. right? Does that make sense? So that works in the mood of awe and reverence, like that. And so that aspect is there. You know, why did Krishna make it that, you know, you have beads and there's 108 beads and the bag looks like that? It means that's the way he likes it. You know, I mean, you can give definitions of that because there's 108 gopis, but, you know, why 108 gopis? Why not 107, 100, like that, you know? So, but then it's 9, and 9 is a transcendental number, but why is 9 the transcendental number? You know, why not 2, what is it, 9 3/4? You know, so different things like that. Does that make sense? You know, so... Yeah.
For Madhvas, those questions are not even coming up.
No, it's not that they couldn't discuss it, but the point is they don't discuss it.
That's the rule is like that. That's it. That's the
issue. Yeah, because it's there. Shastra's there. We've already established that you have to function according to Shastra. You have to function according to authority. Right, because the conditioning is you'll make mistakes, so it has to be according to liberated souls. Right, that Shastra, the Veda is before the creation; it's always been there. And then how the sages have applied that for our life—that's your smriti. Right, so shruti and smriti, we have to base this on. You know, and then you have to have guru. So therefore, you just don't. It's unquestioned, like that, because he will have dealt with it previous. To this, you know what I'm saying? Because this is a detail, you know, dealing with the theory of bondage. While the other is just the nature of the jiva, then one will get into some element. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes.
What is the meaning of satya sankalpa?
Satya, whatever he is determined is what happens. Satya means truth, and sankalpa means like your determination. So if Krishna decides something, it's truth. It happens. Mm-hmm. Like Krishna's already decided that everyone on the battlefield of Kurukshetra is going to die. And so they do. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time, how it will be done. So that's the difference. We're not such a sankalpa. We decide so many things. And when we're 50, we look at the list and, well, there's a few things left, you know. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. You know, then you can make your bucket list. Now, whether you get through that also is another thing. You know, so in other words, it's because we've decided something, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Right? You know, it's considered very great. Someone decides something, sticks with it, and it does happen. You know, it's considered something very glorious. But with Krishna, it's everything's like that. That's the difference. It is only true knowledge of the soul's relation to God that can redeem it from this bondage. The true and final explanation of bondage is thus, the will of the Lord, and not merely karma, ajnana, kala, gunas, etc. Right? Because all those are things of this world. Mm-hmm. Madhava has gone beyond Ramanuja in tracing the origin of bondage ultimately to divine will. Right, so there must have been some questions, and so then he deals with the, with that. What would he say once this? Yeah, so he's just saying, Ramanuja has just said that that the cosmic process is beginningless, therefore you can't know. Shastra won't say, and what's it? Nor reason, logic. But Madhva is saying, yes, that's true, but it's the will of the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So he's just explaining something. It's just how much is necessary to know to make the process work. Madhvacharya tells his theory of the origin of bondage, Swabhava Ajnanavada, or the theory of the soul's ignorance of their own true nature, of the dependence on the Supreme Brahman. Theory of Swarup Bheda, plurality and difference of nature among souls. Okay, so that whole point is divine will, that's his Swabhava Ajnanavada. Okay. Madhva's doctrine of the souls insists not only upon the distinctiveness of each soul, but also upon an intrinsic gradation amongst them based on various degrees of knowledge, power, and bliss. This is known as taratamya, which comes out more clearly in the release state where the souls realize their true status. This position is peculiar to Madhva and is not found in any other school of Indian philosophy. So you would have, you could also take this and show is that others don't deal with it because they're not talking about other realms. Right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, then it will be applied within this world. Right? And that's where it appears that this mistake has been made by the more contemporary Madhvas, is that therefore you have tamasic, rajasic, and sattvic soul. But it mentioned here is that, what is it? Yeah, and not merely karma, jnana, and everything. Souls that can redeem it from this bondage. Right? Because he's talking about souls here, meaning generic souls, jivas. So all of them can, by this statement, they can all be freed from bondage. Right? But what you have is depending upon the particular knowledge, that particular power and bliss, then they're situated in different realms within the spiritual world. In Vaikuntha, and Ayodhya, and Dwarka, and Mathura, and Vrindavan, like that. So that means is that when they are, okay, intrinsic and based on various degrees of knowledge, right? Here the souls realize their true status only in the state of liberation, right? So that still, he's using the term souls, right? So that would mean whatever the soul, when they come to that, then they'll realize their position, right? That's the meaning of that. When it comes to realize one's position, that's the first stage of bhava. Then adjusting with that, then absorbing oneself in Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So he's alluding to that aspect. But unfortunately, it seems that followers have taken it that they mean within the material world, not outside the material world. Because they're trying to give an eternal nature of goodness, passion, or ignorance to the soul, but goodness, passion, or ignorance is not the nature of the soul. It's beyond. So how could you attribute that? Right? So they're trying to take one thing that the Acharya said, but they don't understand, and take it on the other, because he's talking so much on the sadha and that. So there's certain things he must have given reference to in the spiritual world that they didn't catch. They didn't pay attention to. Right? Because of the focal point of defeating the Mayavadis. Mm. Right, so therefore, that he brings this out, but we'll also say that. But it doesn't take on the nature of the tattvavadis. Their thing is that the souls are three. There's good souls and goodness, souls and passion, and they're always like that. So that's particular to Madhva. No other school follows that. Mm. You know, even these other Mayavadis, this anybody can become Brahman. Mm. You know, Nyayas, anybody, Karma Mamsa, anybody. Mm. Anybody can. So his is the only one that's saying that. No, there's the nature of the soul, so some can't be liberated, some will all automatically be liberated. Understand? So that means there must be some interpretation of Madhva's original philosophy. Something went wrong there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they'd understand it. When you get to the transcendental platform, but you're liberated, then you actually understand your position in the spiritual world. Right? We call it Surup Siddhi. Right? He calls it Surup Beda. Right? Does that make sense? Because he's far got the surup, but it's different from someone else. You know, we take it automatically that your surup is different from someone else. Right? We don't have to specifically mention it separately. Does that make sense? And this is from Madhva's Mahabharata, Tatparya Nirnaya. So, Tatparya. Oh, Taratmya. That's it. Okay. There are broadly three groups of souls, gods, men, and demons. Among them, gods and superior men are fit to get liberation. The mediocre men are fit to only to live in this world, being victims to the cycle of birth and death. The worst men go to hell. Demons, too, go to dark regions. Both liberation or reaching higher and brighter regions, as well as downfall or sinking into dark nether regions, are permanent. There's no return from those regions, whether brighter or darker. Right. So now, how he's using the term, there's no return, because in here is that it means, like Krishna says in Gita, he pushes them farther and farther down and like that, because from the perspective of the jiva, it's forever. I mean, the kid's sitting in the back seat of the car for an hour and a half, and it's like forever, right? Every 2 minutes he's asking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? You know, it's like, it's forever. So, and he's not really suffering, he's just bored. Let alone if you're actually suffering, right? You know, that makes sense. You know, it's like you know, they're dragging you up to the top of the mountain for the 12th time today, you know, and tossing you off, right? You know, it gets really long, you know. You know? So then, this will be taken since you're dealing with these differences between eternal time and material time. Then that can be taken that he's actually speaking something different. Does that make sense? So means anybody in the Vedic philosophy will say that the gods and superior men, they're the ones that are trying to elevate themselves. Men are just trying to enjoy what's here, and the demons are, you know, or those who have suffered for bad work, then they're suffering. They're in the hellish regions. Because how much is there? It's a long time. It's 26 hells. You've done a variety of things. You have to put in time there. Creamy Bhojan, that's one of them. Right? Creamy means worm. Right? So creamy, and Bhojan means to eat. So creamy Bhojan is this lake of worms that's 100,000 miles across. And all it's full of is worms. So all that they do is set, you know, there's nothing else to eat, so they eat each other. Right? So that's what goes on. So however many miles across it is, that's how many years you'll be there. So that's 100,000 years is that. And then you have so many other hells to go to. You know? So it's, not sure if that was better or the next one's better, right? You know? It's like you have that one where you're sitting there up to at the water up to like chest level. And then there's some, you know, something, the grapes are something that you can eat right here in front of you. And then as soon as you go like this to get the grapes, because you're hungry, they move up. And so you're so thirsty, as soon as you go to get the water, it goes down. You know? So stuff like that, you know. So they got good stuff. Okay. Human beings can be classified as superior or inferior by considering their Hari Bhakti or Hari Dvesha. The inferior possesses Hari Dvesha, even though in a lesser degree than that is possessed by demons. Therefore, they are destined to reach dark regions. The superior souls possess Hari Bhakti, even though in a lesser degree than what is possessed by gods, and therefore they are fit for moksha. The mediocre possesses both Hari Bhakti and Hari Dvesha, and therefore they do not rise high, nor do they fall down. They remain forever in this material world. Right? So they're taking it like this. So what's being pointed out is that if you have the bat, it'll stay like that for, you know. Because if we say beginningless, we're using this forever in the same state. Because otherwise, then that means then this nature is inherent in the soul. But we haven't said that that's inherent in the soul. Right? So that's the difference. Then how they're describing the jiva itself is it would be different. Right? Does that make sense? So, and then the other aspect is that they'll get liberated, you know, and he mentions liberation means entering into a relationship with the Lord. But that means then it's only because of this Hari Bhakti that's already there. But where did the Hari Bhakti come from? Because bhakti can only come from bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? Mm. Doctrine of Jiva Trividya or Tripartite classification or tripartite, I guess. Classifications of soul in this world. Mukti Yogya, salvable. Nitya Samsaran, ever transmigrating. And Tama Yogya, damnable. I think he explained this before. The doctor of Jiva Trividya intends to justify and reconcile the presence of evil with divine perfection in the only rational way in which it could be done, by fixing the responsibility for goodness or evil upon the moral freedom born of diversity of nature of souls, or themselves eternal and uncreated in time. But he doesn't say how that nature came upon the soul. An intrinsic divergence of nature and faith into sattva, rajas, and tamas, which is rooted in the core of individual nature, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 17.2.3, is the ultimate basis of this theory, according to Madhvacharya. What is thus ultimately traced to the essential nature, swabhava, of the selves, must indeed be unalterable. Other verses, because there's two kinds of swabhava, the conditioned and the transcendental. Right? So here they're not separating them. Other verses from Bhagavad Gita supporting this theory are 14.18 like this. So it appears that way. So that's how they're taking it. But then Krishna is not speaking like that. Because we see as he comes as Lord Chaitanya, anybody can be saved. So that's, we have to understand this is not the position. This is where there's a difference and nobody else has this. Because they've taken it down to the material platform. Mm-hmm. It explains things very easily. Right, how there's good and bad in the world, because there's good souls and there's bad souls, right? But the point is anybody can make a good choice or a bad choice. So if you make a good choice, you get a good result. You make a bad choice, you get a bad result. So whichever position you happen to be at the time, you'll be in one of these three. But it's always changing. That's the meaning of samsara. So the person who's damnable now will do that for a long time. And then eventually he'll come up, and then come up to the salvable. And then like that, it just keeps going around. That's samsara, yes.
Maharaj, these teachings, they are still bona fide, although they changed originally.
Means the principle of service to God and the sadhana and all that. Problem here is they don't know how to explain the nature of the souls. Because the point is according to them, if you're inquiring about this and taking up devotional service, then you're one of the mukti yogis. You know what I'm saying? So they themselves don't have any problem with it because that's not their focus. All it explains to them is why you see good and evil in the world and why some people come forward in God consciousness and others don't. That's all. It just deals with that rather than the free choice. So the main thing of the focus on serving Vishnu and all that, that's what makes it work. But at the same time, it's because of this, that's why we don't get too close with them.
And in the time of Lord Chaitanya, this philosophy was already changed?
Yeah, this is already there. This is the Tattvavadis. Mm. Like that. Because it's already been changed. It doesn't take long to change something.
And Lord Chaitanya accepted,
Not this. He expected. Means you have to come in one of the Sampradayas. And Madhvacharya accepts Krishna as the Supreme. So that's one of the points in our line, is Krishna is the Supreme. So then that's taken from his line. Does that make sense? Yes.
All right, according to this description, and the wrong description that they have, according to Gita, it would be judgment in the mood of passion, because they sing all the songs.
Yes, yes, it would be. It would be. So that's the problem, is then you're saying, so they'll say, no, but Krishna's saying it. So therefore, it's not, we're basing it on Shastra. But they're missing applying what's there. Because if we say Anadi is beginningless, it doesn't mean that there wasn't a time one wasn't here, but it's just one can't tell that. So therefore, why worry about when? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the guy's in the water, out in the middle of the ocean, right? And then the boat comes along and finds you there, and then throws you the rope. You know, and they tell you, grab the rope. And it just says, no, but you can tell me how I got in here. Well, you must have fallen off your boat. No, but how exactly was I, you know, was I on, you know, which side of the boat was I on? And, or was it the front or the back? Or, you know, did I, you know, fall over? Did, you know, someone push me over? Or, you know, was there no railing? You know, like that, or, you know, was there a hole in the boat and I fell through the hole, or did the boat sink, or like that, and it says, you know, what does it matter? Just grab the rope. No, but, you know, I have to, if I can't answer these things, how can I focus on holding on to the rope? You know, this is the discussion. So that's why it's a problem. So then when we get into all these different things like that, then it's not important. So, therefore, it's just beginningless. Everybody accepts that. So the point is we would apply that all the way across. So you don't worry about that. We know the principle of how it works, the detail we don't. But here they're trying to address the detail. And so because of that, that's where then it has a problem, because they're trying to address that, this beginningless, you know, actually has a tie. So in the same way, then you know, all this, the nature of the soul, then there must be. Why would some be inclined towards that? Because Krishna says they're a demoniac nature. But that just means the consciousness of present. They've cultivated demoniac nature, so they've gotten good at it. They cultivate the sattvic nature, they'll get good at it. That's what sadhana means. You get good at whatever you practice. You know? You know, it means, you know, the kid goes out on the street with his, you know, older brothers and that for the first time, then, you know, he doesn't know how to cut the profile, right? You know, so, you know, like that. So he learns, you know. Yeah. Okay, so then that's the aspect that makes their difference, like that. Abhideya. Freedom and free will. The question of human freedom and divine control assumes great importance in philosophy and ethics, right? Because everybody wants to know, right? It means freedom and divine control. Because everyone wants to know, I'm the controller and enjoyer. So we really don't want anything to mess with that, right? Madhvacharya says that it is man himself and not God who is responsible for the evil and suffering in this world, right? So here he comes out, you know, it's not mentioned before. It should be mentioned before. This is the corollary of his theory of Surup Beda, intrinsic difference of nature among souls. Right? So it's the soul himself. But then he's saying is that therefore the demoniac souls are always demoniac and the good souls are always good. But the point is if they're always good, then after a while there would be no good souls left in the universe. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise good souls are coming and going, but bad souls are always here. So then, therefore, after a while, it'll just fill up with bad souls. There won't be any space.
But it's also kind of funny because they would say then that they are among the good souls.
Of course.
Yeah, so it states very clearly in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhu says that that's mode of passion.
Yes, but it's very popular.
Yeah, okay.
You can see that we have some Hari Bhakti and some Hari Dvesha. So,
yeah.
I mean, wouldn't almost all devotees be, you know, in the beginning stage?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then it says it's a mixed, ever transmigrating. So that would mean then, even amongst the practitioners, if there's any bad qualities, then technically they'd be amongst the mixed, which means they'll always be here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, not too bad, but always be here. So the point is that. It doesn't actually work as a philosophy. Mm. Right? It means if you don't talk about it much, it works.
Yeah. Many things work.
The cultivation of the bad qualities is the same with the cultivation of the devotion. It comes more as he practices.
Yeah, because he's accepting here about the seed. The desire seed. What was it? Right? Kama, desire, which is the seed of activity. So depending upon that, then if you have that desire for higher, then it would go up. But that would mean then if I have Hari Bhakti and I cultivate it, but because of the Hari Dvesha, it could never be, you could never get out of here. So that means that Hari Bhakti is not more powerful than the material world. Right? So it runs into a lot of problems. That's why Lord Chaitanya was not overly pleased with their...
There's no amount in the Vritti stage of actually removing them.
No, but I guess they would say as well. Then there's they probably worked out over the centuries so many, arguments. Well, there's a little bit there, but then the point is mixed. So then you have to say how much is mixed, So 50%. So if they're 51, does that mean then they're salvable, or does that still mean they're? What's the range of mixed and this and that? So there'd be conferences arguing over which percentage it is. Does that mean for 33 and a third up to 66 and a 0.6? Yeah, walking on a curve. Which yuga, which,
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. It's Kali Yuga. I mean, we're misguided and,
unfortunate. Yeah, well, in Satya Yuga, everybody's humses. So therefore, what happened to all the bad guys,
Yeah.
I wonder where are all the bad guys in Satyayuga? Hiding? Maybe, because it's very, lush plant life and animal life. Maybe that's why it's more lush. Yeah. Well, here, the problem is there's less trees because they've all taken birth as demoniac people now. Right? Like that, on the Satyayuga, then there's less demonia, and they're all nice, all the demons are born as not trees and cute little animals.
So that's another argument for preserving the rainforest. We don't want them to take rebirth as a human being.
Yeah.
Rather they stay as trees.
Yeah. Not sure how far you get with that.
Well, I'm not sure, maybe.
But it'd be fun. I'm sure you get people, you get followers.
Yeah,
you definitely would.
Facebook page.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, this is the corollary of his theory of Surubheda, right? So this is, one of those unproven points. It's just accepted points. Madhvacharya maintains that the human soul is a real agent in all its actions. The soul is not the karta, the injunctions of the shastra with reference to the obtainment of specific results, and the moral law will lose all significance. Right? Ramanuja also uses that, because the point is if the good work doesn't give some result, why mention it? Why would there be? That means the soul can elevate itself, like that. Otherwise, why would it be mentioned? But then, if that's there, then they'll say only the sattvic souls will follow it. It's interesting. It seems to be only supported by Bhagavad Gita.
And it's not even really supported.
Yeah, no. In other words, he's saying the point is that the soul is the one who is the karta, right? Means in the way of, good and bad. Because the soul is chosen through his desire to do a particular activity that gives a good result or bad result, right? Ultimately, though, Krishna is saying is that the soul is not the karta, because he's saying is that the one in knowledge knows that the soul neither kills nor does this or that, right? So the soul, it's not one is only taking part in action that's being taken being performed by the material nature, right? Because material nature is the material cause. We're simply actually an instrument in the operational, Right? It's the Krishna's potencies that actually operate it, but we can take part. If we think I'm the doer, you get the result for yourself. If you think the result's for Krishna, then you get liberated. Does that make sense? Right? If it's yours, you're bound. If you think it's not yours, you're liberated. Like that. But showing that, because otherwise what's happening is that action by the Mayavadis, the existence of the soul is unreal, the actions are unreal, everything is unreal. So he's trying to point out, no, it's actually real. You made the choice, you get the results. Right? Because otherwise, then why do you have to follow the Mayavad sadhana? Why that? It means if it's all illusion, it doesn't matter what you do. You know? Like that. The acceptance of real agency, kartitva, to the soul does not, however, make the jiva an absolutely independent agent. Right? Because we accept that he's the doer, but that doesn't mean that he's now independent. The jiva pursues his free will with a course of action which is determined mostly by his own deep-rooted nature, inclinations and past karmas. Right? You can see that their philosophy, that one aspect, jiva trividya, then they use it everywhere. It makes it very easy, you know, like that. But even this is possible because God has given him the power to do things in conformity with his own innate goodness or its opposites. He is not therefore a mere puppet in the hands of God, right? Because otherwise you want to say, well, God made me do it. It's his will. No, but his point is you have that desire and then God fulfills that desire. Right? So in other words, God is carrying out the activity that you want done. Right? And even if you say, well, this isn't how I wanted it, the point is you're dealing in the material world, everything comes in opposites. So you have the one side, you always have the other. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so if you the good of one thing also means the bad of the one thing. Right? I mean, the puppy is cute and cuddly and everything like that, but he pees on the rug. Right? You know, they go together. You can't say I'll have one and not the other.
The Japanese robot dog.
Japanese robot dog, okay? It means they don't have a feature that they pee on the rug.
Probably have by now.
Okay. That's true, they're not very furry.
That's true.
Shiny. Not furry.
Japanese are funny people.
Yeah, well, actually, if you look at it, if it's shiny, then people like it, so... It's probably very shiny.
Yes.
Okay, so. The right to choose between right and wrong is his own, made on his own responsibility and his own risk. Bhagavad Gita 1863. Yare chasi tatag kuru. This explains why some are mukti yogas, some remain in bondage, and others qualify for tamas. Right?
But then he has a right to choose, sir.
Yeah, of course. No, but it means the problem is that they take it back to this just because it makes it so much easier for them. Mm. Because this still hasn't really gotten into Abhideya yet. This is still explaining the nature of the soul. Right? You know, freedom and free will. He's taking it this it's still part of the other. So the aspect is that they're talking about, yes, the free will in that what you're naturally attracted to, which aspect, which realm of the Lord you'd be attracted to and all that. But then that means then you have to be able to accommodate. Right? But then it doesn't explain things here. You would have to use that, therefore, the free will. And the same thing, but it's not based on your inherent, position as a tamasic jiva or a sattvic jiva, but it's by what modes you've associated with yourself with at this particular time. You know? But then the question, why would you do that? It's simply your choice. Just like it's free will of the Lord, the jiva has free will. Right? But then the problem is then you come back up with the Maya body thing is that, well, I feel like it, so why not? You know, so you have to be able to cut that. So it looks like the emphasis has gone the other way and just been misapplied. Most Indian commentators would take shelter under the inexorable law of karma, to reconcile the presence of evil and inadequacies in this world with the goodness of God. But even a chain of beginningless karma would not explain why all souls are not equally good or bad, as all of them are equally eternal and their karmas too are equally beginningless and they start simultaneously. The explanation given by Madhu is that karma itself is the result of the distinction nature of each soul, called hatha, which is intrinsic to it. But the point is it's just practice. It's samsara, means it's going in a circle. Right? Because then we're not accepting the principle that goes in a circle. So if you're talking about beginningless time, you're talking about things moving very slowly. Therefore, things will go in a particular way. You know what I'm saying? It's just a matter of time, yes.
Okay, just interesting to ask followers of this philosophy, what is their opinion about Western Vaishnavas? Because it's obviously not by being good soul that we are here.
I'm sure they have some explanation that somehow or another are good, that their septic souls that somehow or another have gotten into that arrangement. See, the thing is what you can see from this is they don't want to actually have to deal with this part of the philosophy. So just by saying it's intrinsic in the soul, then makes it. So when we're saying here intrinsic in the soul, we mean in the conditioning of the soul, because when we say atma, because he doesn't say what word he uses here. Because atma simply can mean the external body, can mean the mind, can mean the intelligence, or the consciousness. But the point is if he has material consciousness, even if you take it as on that higher level, it's the ego that's there that I'm the controller and enjoyer, that will keep him within the material world. It has to. So whether it's sattvic or tamasic or rajasic, it doesn't matter. He will stay in this world. So unless that's addressed, then you won't get rid of it. So even there, on that level of the soul, still the consciousness is wrong. So that aspect this seems like a easier. How you say? It just makes it easy. You don't have to worry about anything. And that if somebody's behaving good because they're a sattvic soul, they're bad. There's that, the tamasic. You don't have to worry about it. But then it also means that then what happens is they don't really preach. Well, Madhu would preach a lot, because their idea is the sattvic souls would just come.
So it's justification of being a vajanamandi.
It means what all is their full things, but it's not actually representative like that. So they're not actually catching what the acharya is saying. Because he's not going to say something that's not actually in line with the Shastra. Of course, he gives Shastra quotes that show this, but we see the quotes, the same quotes we use to show the conditioned nature, not the nature of the soul. Right? Like that. Because otherwise, then, like you said, is that then that would be rajasic, to see the souls as different, when the souls are all the same. One who sees all the souls as the same, that's then the problem if it's seen from the mode of goodness. Seeing them as different qualities of soul, that's from the mode of passion. So that verse doesn't seem to be part of the equation. So that's why then what was said before is that the scriptures are saying that he is impersonal, and the scriptures are saying he's personal. So that means they're both correct. Not the one's higher, one's lower like that. It's the point is he's both at once, simultaneously. So the personal is there and the impersonal is there. But the point is that the impersonal is just generic, while the personal is specific. So this personal is the original. And the Brahman is the expansion of that, though it's non-different from him. Right? So therefore, if these two are there, they can't be contradicted, they can't be wrong. That means, yes, they're acting according to their nature, but that must mean that there's a conditioned nature, because you've already accepted the position of the linga sharira and everything, all the covering. So the thing is we're saying that all souls have that, but we're only saying that the sattvic souls can actually get rid of it. But the principle is, why would we be generic in one and specific in the other? Yeah. Generic is generic, specific is specific. Does that make sense? Yeah. But at the same time, don't worry about the tattva bodies. It's not that we're on a mission out there. No, don't worry about it.
How many are there?
I have no idea. There's 8 main mutts, there's 22 mutts total. Mm. There's not that many in the mutts, but there'll be lots of householders. Mm. But it's basically kind of in that area. I think the Shris are much broader, more spread. Yes.
Wouldn't Chaitanya, from such a family background, the boy who's now
here? He went to a Madhva Gurukul. I don't think he's from a Madhva background. I don't think he speaks Tulu and stuff like that. You know, because there's a big base of them I think a lot of the... a lot of the Gaur Saraswat Brahmins settled in Maharashtra, that kind of southern, where it's also connects to the place where Udupi is, and that kind of that whole area. They all speak this Konkani, like that. And, it's just... Questions like, the jiva was not created out of a void at a particular time, but he is nonetheless an expression of the nature of God. How then does he happen to be so imperfect, while his archetype is also the type of perfection? Madhva says that it is because the intrinsic diversity of human nature, anadi surupa yogyata. Right? So here is because the intrinsic diversity of human nature means... you have your choice. That's your freedom. That's the meaning. The demigods will do what they're supposed to do. The demons will do what they do. But the human has the choice. So he answers it according to the actual philosophy. Does that make sense? But somehow or another, the followers have taken it to mean this other aspect of philosophy. That's the intrinsic nature of the soul, rather than no. He says it's human nature. But they'll then translate that as the soul. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm. So somehow or another, he is just focusing on these other aspects, and somehow or another, this came out this way. Mm. Okay, so we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai.
Kanitai Gaura Premanand.
Hare Krishna.